Thank you all so much for being here. I'm so excited for you to see Andrea's message. It is a little pixelated, but that's just because where she lives, the service isn't that great, and she recorded on her laptop. But through her sickness, she still wanted to make sure that everyone got an amazing message. So here it is. Hope you enjoy. I'll be talking to you soon.
From Hollywood, the dating capital of the world, in color, it's The Dating Game.
Do you ever do something wrong and like halfway through it, you know, this is probably not how I should be handling this situation, but it's like you're too far in to get out of it. So you go on and just do it completely wrong and you really mess something up. So that's what I did this week. And the irony is that it comes in the middle of a series where we're talking about if we would want to date ourselves. And yes, no, or maybe. And truth is, if we really look at ourselves and we look at all the things that we've got, lots of times we'd probably be pretty prone to say, no, I'm not interested in dating myself because I see all the crap and all the baggage that comes along with me. So I'd like to think that I'm moving towards, you know, self-actualization or salvation, which means transformation. I like to think that because I have devoted my life to following God or being at one with God, that I would be more aware of the things that we fall prey to that get in the way of us experiencing that oneness. But this was a total week of mess ups. I'd like to blame it on my COVID brain. Midweek or near the end of the week, I tested positive for COVID. So that's why you're getting this message here from my home, alone, me and my laptop and Axel, instead of being in the office with the production team or there with you in the high school. But, I'd like to blame it on COVID brain, but honestly, I blame it on my false self or my shadow side. And that's what we're going to talk about today, our shadow sides. So I was in the middle of this Zoom call with two other gentlemen, and I didn't really know who they were. I'd been asked to be a part of a forum near the end of the month, and part of the forum was going to be about the FDA's approval of psilocybin to be used in clinical settings to help doctors and psychiatrists treat people with extreme depression, PTSD, anxiety, addiction. I mean, there's lots of different ways that the drug can be used in a healthy context and in a clinical setting. And the drug also helps people like open up their consciousness and become more aware of who they really are. And what they were finding is that as people did that, they were coming to this understanding and awareness and knowledge of a divine presence. God is what we call it. But, you know, if folks were agnostic or atheist, they were coming out of the study with Hopkins or NYU saying, oh my gosh, I think there's something so much bigger to this than me. So I was a part of the religious professional study with Johns Hopkins. And because of that, I've made some connections in the psychedelic realm, the medical realm, not the like underground psychedelic network. And so one of the leaders of the nonprofit that is around this work asked me if I'd be on a Zoom call with two other gentlemen. And he wanted me to bring my perspective to the conversation, the perspective of a pastor. And so this week I got on a Zoom call with them. And I should have done a little homework. I should have figured out who the two gentlemen were, because sometimes when I get in settings that I'm not really familiar, I end up getting really anxious and I start acting out of my not true self. And that's what happened this week. And the irony is that we're in the middle of a message series talking about wanting to date ourselves and being the person that we are created to be. And if we would do that, then we would be authentic and truly who we are. So I'm in this call, and this one guy who's a professor at the University of Alabama and is a research professor and very well published. He's written tons of articles about a lot of different things. For the first 45 minutes or so of the Zoom call, he talked. And not only is he a professor of science and research, he was very well versed in his faith. And so he was coming at it from a faith perspective as well. And then the other gentleman who was the facilitator of the call and who was representing the nonprofit, he shared that, his best friend is the executive director for the Center for Action and Contemplation. That's where Father Richard Rohr is based out of. And so that was intimidating within itself, because I really respect the work that they do. But after the one guy talked for 45 minutes about his research and his understanding and the way our brains are wired, and he talked about all the scientific stuff, then the other guy called on me. And in the moment, I thought about saying, which would have been out of my true self, I thought about saying, that's all really interesting and very new to me. I don't come at this from an academic side. I come at this from a very pastoral side. And my hope is to just help folks find a way to combat the demons that they have that controls them and demands their attention. I wish I had said that, but I did not. After listening to this one gentleman use a lot of big fancy words and a lot of data, I wanted to be his equal. And I was really worried about how I was going to come across on this call. And so I started saying things and putting phrases together and words together that I sort of knew what they meant, and I sort of knew that they were relevant. But honestly, I was just saying a lot of them because they sounded fancy and made me sound pretty intelligent. What happened, I keep saying honestly, it's all honestly, but what happened in that call is that when I finished with my little speech, the one gentleman who was facilitating the call, I saw him sort of turn his head like this and just look puzzled. And I thought, you totally just screwed that up, Andrea. You totally just messed it up, because you were trying to be someone that you aren't. Have you not learned anything from all the messages that you've been sharing with the people of West about authenticity and vulnerability? Apparently not. Because I was wrestling with my self-image in those moments, and because I let the academic intelligence of another individual make me feel like I was not able to have a seat around the table, I started acting out of my false self. I started acting out of this self-image that I've created, that I need to be intelligent and I need to be articulate and I need to be able to hang with the big dogs or other people who have a lot of letters and things after their name. And I want to be their equal and I want to impress them. And because I wanted to do that, what I ended up doing is living into my false self. It was humbling when the facilitator of the call, like, turned his head when I finished talking and just sort of went, I should have just fessed up then and said, because I thought about it, I thought about saying, you know what? I realized that just then I just tried to put a lot of words together that didn't really make any sense. And that whole idea and concept really has no validity because I was just trying to sound smart. But here's what I know. But I didn't have the courage to say that. Lots of times in our lives, we don't have the courage to be our authentic self because we live out of our false selves. We live out of our shadow selves. And that's what I wanted to talk with us for a few minutes about today. I thought about getting a guest pastor. Amy Coles would have been happy to preach, or Lexi is certainly very gifted and competent and can preach in my absence. But we're in the middle of this message series, and I didn't want to dump the shadow self or our false selves on either one of them with just a few days notice. And so I figured I would try to tackle the concept with you remotely. It's something that we don't like to talk about. We don't like to think about, because none of us want to readily admit that there are times that we act out of trying to have this ideal self-image. And the self-image that we project, it's one that is created. It's one that's fabricated out of ourselves. And it is our desires of who we want to be. It's our choices that we make that try to present something that isn't authentically who we are. That's our self-image. And far too often, like me this week on the Zoom call, we try to protect that image at all cost. And in doing so, we end up messing up. Because guess what? Others can see through being disingenuous and being insincere. Others can spot a fake or a false person, honestly, longer before we even realize that we're acting that way. So there's really nothing to be gained for living out of our first half of life or our false selves. Part of learning to be someone that we would want to date, part of learning to be a person who is completely at one with God, is to recognize that we have this shadow self, we have this false side, and that part of our salvation, part of our transformation, and that's what salvation means, is transformation, is learning to recognize that and then stop it and be authentically who we are created to be. The good news is, after I finished the Zoom call, like, immediately I was disappointed in what I'd done. Not disappointed in the fact that I didn't have the big words or all the articles published or the books written like the other two gentlemen. I was disappointed in that I was not authentically who I am. I may not have to be some big scholar at a famous university. I'm just me. And if we would all come to that place where we recognize that I am who I am and I am okay, that's what it means to be living into our true selves. Because when we come to that place and we recognize that I am who I am and I am okay, we recognize that comes from being born out of a place of absolute love. That's what God is. God is absolute, unconditional love. And we are created in that divine image, and we are born into that divine image. And when we come out as babies, as infants, we are so connected with it. Like, it encompasses all of our being. But then in our human nature, we learn, like by a stimulus and response, to act a certain way or to do certain things so that we can get what we need. And so we learn that if we do something, it will elicit a response that will give us what we want. So we learn a behavior and we learn patterns. And we end up creating this image for ourselves that we want to live into. This happens over lots of years and lots of experiences. But there comes a time in our lives where it's like this pivotal intersection. And we keep living in to this self-image that we've created that is defined. We allow our worth to be defined by things that are going to die, things that are going to fade away. And those things, that false self-image, those very temporal things, they get in the way of us living a life that is full and whole and at one with God. I mean, that's the false self. Anything that is not going to exist when our physical time here on earth is done, those are the things that are our false self-image. So like the clothes that we wear, the cars that we drive, the homes that we live in, our skin color, our hair color, our weight, all those things, they're a part of our negative self, our shadow self, our false self-image. And they get in the way of us experiencing this joy and this happiness and this oneness with life. So I told you last week, if you were with us during the message, that we were going to talk a little bit about evil today, and we were going to talk a little about darkness and about Lucifer. So the name Lucifer actually means light bearer. The name Lucifer, which is what, if you read in scripture, is referred to as Satan or the devil, that name means light bearer. So the evil one is the light bearer. So one thing that is important for us to know is that the evil one, Lucifer, Satan, the devil, whatever, the evil one masks darkness as light and masks light as darkness. That's deep. I want you to think about that for just a minute. The evil one masks darkness as light. So the things that we think are bad are actually good, and the things that are good, they are masked as things that are bad. Think about how vulnerable you like to be with others. I mean, when you're in a conversation with someone, do you just like bare your soul? Odds are probably not. We have learned to protect ourselves at all costs. We have learned to guard our hearts and our souls so that others won't hurt them. We see vulnerability as something that is bad because it can bring pain to us. But in reality, in truth, vulnerability is actually good. Evil, the evil one, the light bearer, would make us think that vulnerability is bad and something that's going to bring us harm. But if we'll live into that vulnerability and allow ourselves to be vulnerable with one another, we actually end up experiencing goodness and wholeness and freedom. Freedom from the darkness, freedom from that self-image and that false self. That's why Lucifer, the term Lucifer, which is known as evil one, means light bearer. Because the closer we are to the light, the more of our shadows we see. The closer we are to the light, the more of our shadows we see. Just like this week with those gentlemen, I tried to be somebody that I'm not. I'm not an academic researcher. I don't even really like science. I'm an artist. I'm a creative person. I have been ever since I was little. My interests have always been in music and the arts, not data and chemicals and the way things work and that kind of stuff. That just was never me. Everybody around that table this week in that meeting had gifts that they brought to the table, but I didn't think mine were good enough. And so I started acting out of my insecurities and acting out of my false self. But because I am on this quest to try to get it right and be at one with God, because a leader can never lead people where they've not been. And so if I'm not doing the self-work and I'm not trying to fix the things that I've got in my own stuff that get in the way of me experiencing God, there's no way that my words will ever be able to be a catalyst for something in your life. So you can rest assured that if I'm talking about it, I'm also wrestling with it and trying to live into the light and the life that I talk about freely. But the closer we get to the light, the more of our shadows that we see. So this week I saw almost immediately that I was living out of my insecurity that I'm not smart enough, or my insecurity that I'm a failure and others are, you know, making fun of me or whatever. Those are my shadow sides. What are yours? In order to be fully whole human beings, we have to be a people that recognize that we're not perfect and we don't have to be. We have to recognize that we have this shadow side. And whereas we think it protects us, it really doesn't. It just ends up putting us in worse spaces than we think we ever will be. It isolates us. It causes us to feel alone and afraid. And if we're not willing to admit that, then we keep acting out of our shadow self and our self-image, our false self-image, and we end up in this spiral, and it just keeps going. Until maybe someday there's this like point of reckoning and we recognize that we need to change the pattern and the trajectory. We need to learn to be authentically who we're created to be. Years ago, I learned this lesson, or started learning this lesson, but I didn't know that I was being taught the lesson until after the fact. I was invited to go with Bishop Goodpastor, and that's his name, Goodpastor. I was invited to go with Bishop Goodpastor and a group of clergy to the Holy Land. For me, it was a once-in-a-lifetime chance, and it was paid for. I think we just had to buy our airplane ticket to New York City. And because of a grant that he had gotten, it was paid for. It was a few months away from the date of departure, and I got a phone call from someone with Duke Energy, and they have a Duke Energy Innovators Award, and every year they give it out to someone in the local community that makes a difference. So I had been nominated by someone because of the Back to School Bash that we had founded. And we won. The Back to School Bash won. And he asked me if I would come to the awards ceremony and receive the plaque or trophy or whatever. It was during my time at the Holy Land. Bishop Goodpastor was my mentor. So I wrote him and I'm like, look, I have this opportunity and, you know, I've won this award and it's so cool that I've won this award and I don't know what to do because it's in the last part of the Holy Land trip. Any advice? And his only response was, the Holy Land is a powerful experience. Now, my false self wanted him to write back and go, oh, wow, congratulations. I'm so proud of you. You won an award. That's so cool. The Back to School Bash, yeah. It's so powerful and cool what all you've done. But I didn't get that from him. He just wrote back and said, the Holy Land is a powerful experience. When we were in the Holy Land, he and I were walking on the mountain where Jesus did the Sermon on the Mount, where he said, blessed are you and blessed are you. We were having a pretty honest conversation with one another. I said, you know, it sort of bugged me that when I told you about the award, you didn't acknowledge it in your response to me. And he said, I hoped you would pick up on that. I said, what do you mean? He said, I hoped you would pick up on the fact that awards mean nothing to me. The closer you are to the light, the more of your shadow you see. Bishop Goodpaster knew that awards and titles and accolades, first of all, they're very fleeting, and secondly, they don't make us who we are. So, whereas, okay, it's nice, they're not the most important thing. Loving people, loving ourselves, loving God, those are the most important things. And we can all do that and do it phenomenally well. We don't have to be the smartest one around the table. We don't have to be the best looking in a group. We don't have to be the one that when you walk in the room, you know, that your charisma attracts everyone to you. All you need to be is authentically who you were created to be. And that's what happens when we live out of our best selves, our true selves. And we recognize the times that we fall prey to our shadow side. I invite you to think about those things this week. And I invite you now to meditate on the scripture that you hear Lexi read.
Thank you so much for that, Andrea. I think today may be one of my favorite messages. I love learning about the shadow self, and it is difficult to acknowledge and deal with, but it's amazing the way that she presented it, how beautiful the shadow self can be. Let me read to you this scripture. It's going to be Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from His perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too, the real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. Amen. I want to remind you of what I was talking about earlier when the message started. Some of you may not have been able to hear me. Next Sunday at Lake Norman High School from 10 to 12, we are going to have pancakes for Gladys. Gladys is a part of a program that we partner with in Uganda called Acres for Hope. She attends the boarding and the living and all of that good stuff, and we are going to have a pancake fundraiser to raise money for her and Acres for Hope. There will be plenty of pancake options and stations, and we're going to hang out, cook some pancakes, have lunch, brunch, and hang out with one another. And we really hope that if you're able or willing to be there, that you will join us 10 to 12 next Sunday at Lake Norman High School. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. Go in peace.